Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Tonight, yes, you can't have my breakthrough, you can't have my increase, you can't have my family. Yes, we're proclaiming that going into the year 2023, if it be the Lord's will, that he let us live and see it. So we just thank God for tonight. We know that it is New Year's Eve night on December the 31st, 2022, but we are still on the air tonight giving God glory, honor, and praise for who he is, because he is still worthy to be praised. You are now once again tuned into Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show. And I am your host, Brother James Brown Jr. And we do come to you live from Hopper Woods, Michigan, each and every Thursday and Saturday night from 8 o'clock until 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On tonight, we have none other than Deacon Marvin Cox, who is standing by, getting ready to share with us another inspirational poem. And he's going to deliver another word from the Lord on tonight. So I'm asking all the listeners, whether you have dialed in by phone or you're listening in through social media platforms around the world, even those of you that may be incarcerated behind prison bars that are listening in on tonight, get your Bibles, your pens, and paper ready so you can follow along with this word on tonight. We are going to go to God's throne of grace and mercy once again on tonight. I'm asking all listeners, if you would touch and agree with me in prayer, because we serve an awesome God. He's a mighty God, and he's truly worthy of our praise. We thank you that there is none like him in all the earth. He is our everything. So we're going to go to him in prayer right now. I'm asking all listeners to touch and agree and go in prayer with me right now. Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus, your Son, we come tonight giving you glory, honor, and praise, thanking you, first and foremost, for who and all that you are. We bless your name because you're worthy of our praise. And we thank you that there is none like you in all the earth. We thank you that you have and hold all power in heaven and earth is in your hand. We thank you that you are in total control at all times, no matter what it looks like. We thank you for being a promise keeper. We thank you that you're still watching over your word to perform it in the lives of your children, your people that are being faithful doers of your word and not just hearers only. Heavenly Father, we come now in the name of Jesus asking that you will forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, starting with myself, my entire family, Deacon Marvin Cox and his entire family, and every saved believer all over the land, whether they have dialed in by phone on tonight or they're listening in through social media platforms around the world, continue to forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions. Your word lets us know that all have sinned and come short of your glory. Even though we are saved in Jesus' name, we do fall short of your glory. And we do sin and we do error. So that's why we are so grateful on tonight for your son, Jesus the Christ, your only begotten beloved son, and whom you sent into the world, who came into the world as a baby to pay our sin debt on the cross with his own sinless and righteous and holy and precious blood, which he did. And for this, we're grateful. Because he paid our sin debt on the cross with his blood, he died for us. And not only did he die, but he rose for us as well with the power, with the victory in his hands. He came through the grave and out of the grave with all power in his hands. And for this, we are giving you glory, honor, and praise for. We bless your name, that in him we have the victory, no matter what the enemy say. That's why we stand on your word and your promises that let us know in your word that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. They might form, but they won't prosper. And we just know that we can cast all our cares upon you because you care for us and you are our promise keeper. So we thank you, Heavenly Father, for your grace and your mercy on tonight. We come now in the name of Jesus asking that you will continue to touch, heal, and strengthen those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. We continue to lift up my cousin Mary Ann King. We continue to lift up Sister Tara Doss and Kim. All those that are sick and afflicted in their minds, spirits, and bodies all over the land. We thank you that we don't have to send you anywhere because we know that you're already there. So touch, heal, and deliver as only you can in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for continuously healing and strengthening Deacon Marvin Cox and his wife, Betty, my sister, Jeanette, and her husband and son, Brad. Thank you for being the healer. You are our healer, so we just thank you for it in the name of Jesus. We don't take it lightly or for granted. We come now, Heavenly Father, lifting up all those that have bereaved on tonight. Even though we are at the last day of the year of 2022, people are still being called home to glory. So we just thank you for this opportunity that you have allowed us to see this time and moment. And we just lift up all those that are grieving on tonight that have lost loved ones, even in these last hours before the new year coming, that have lost loved ones. Those that are still struggling with the death of loved ones throughout the Christmas holiday season. That the first time being without their loved one. Continue to comfort and strengthen them as only you can in the name of Jesus. Let them feel your presence, your peace, your joy, your strength, even as they go through that hour of bereavement in the name of Jesus. We continue to lift up the family of Pope Francis that made his heavenly transition on yesterday. TV news anchor Barbara Walters and her family, as she had made her heavenly transition on yesterday as well, and others that have made their transition. We lift up the family of the young lady that was shot and killed, carjacked on the other day. We lift that family up to you, Heavenly Father, that you will comfort and strengthen them as only you can in the name of Jesus. You said in your word that in this life we would have trials and tribulations. We would see things that we never thought we would see before. We know that your word is true and it's coming to pass more and more each day. So we just thank you that we can count on you and we can lean and depend on you and we can continue to hold on to your unchanging and unfailing hands. Now, Heavenly Father, we pray that this word that's going to go forth through your man of God, Deacon Marvin Cox, on tonight, we pray that it would be heard, be received on tonight, even for those that may be listening and that's not saved in Jesus' name. It's our prayer and our hope and desire that something will be said through the poem, through your word on tonight, that those that are not saved but called on the name of Jesus and ask him to come into their hearts and save them even on tonight. Once they're saved, they will too come to know their God purpose and be able to fulfill it in the earth for your glory is our prayer in Jesus' name. So now, Lord, we continue to bless those and pray for those that are faithful listeners that faithfully dials in to this ministry. Those that listen in through social media platforms around the world, continue to bless them all and grant them the desires of their hearts that we give you glory, honor, and praise is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord, tonight's spiritual food of thought comes to us saying, If you want to write that down, you might want to jot this one down. Tonight's spiritual proof of thought. Think before you respond. Pray before you commit. Say no when necessary. Again, tonight's spiritual proof of thought. Think before you respond. Pray before you commit. Say no when necessary. I do welcome all comments and feedback from all listeners. You can always email me at all lowercase James_Brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. Please take note that I do not own the copyright to any songs or music played on this ministry platform. I do want to extend a happy, healthy, and prosperous 2023. Happy New Year to every one of you, the listeners, every one of you, my Heavenly Father's children, my sisters and brothers in Christ. And as you do, always keep God first in everything. So once again, we want to say a happy, healthy, and prosperous 2023 to each and every one of you. We are getting ready to go to our music break, and then we're going to come back. We're going to yield the mic to Deacon Marvin Cox. He's going to share with us another inspirational poem. Then he's going to go directly into God's word. So I pray and hope that all of you listeners have your Bibles, your pens, and paper ready to follow along. Before we do that, I want to give a shout-out to my pastor and shepherd, Pastor Mark C. Holloway, and my church family, the Peace and Goodwill Baptist Church family. I want to say God bless you all and Happy New Year to you all as well. So we will be in service on tonight at 10:30 on tonight, bringing the new year in, giving God glory, honor, and praise. Enjoy the music break on tonight. Praise the Lord on tonight. Thank God for that song on tonight. We thank God for Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. He thought our life, your life and my life, was worth living, that he came down and paid our sin debt on the cross. I just got news before, just a minute ago, so I'm going to do something real quick before we bring Deacon Marvin Cox on with the word. We're going to lift up our Aunt Essie, my Aunt Maggie Mae King's sister. We want to lift her up in prayer on tonight. Just got the news that she was admitted into the hospital. She had a stroke. She suffered a stroke on today. So we want to lift up Aunt Essie to the Lord on tonight. I'm asking all listeners that know the power of prayer. You don't necessarily need to know her last name because God knows who she is. I forget her last name myself. But I know her name, and she's one of my aunts, Aunt Essie. So we want to lift her up in prayer. Matter of fact, hold on just one second. I'm going to ask my cousin Mary Ann while she's on the line in North Carolina. Mary Ann, what is Aunt Essie's last name? Essie Tut. Okay,
yeah,
oh, thank you. Okay, I got you. Thank you so much.
All
yes,
right.
We want to look at Aunt Essie Tut. My aunt's sister down in Greensboro, North Carolina, suffered a stroke. So she's in the hospital right now. But we do know God is a healer, so we want to lift her up in prayer real quick. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, is in the name of Jesus. We have been asked to reach out to you on behalf of your daughter, your servant, Essie Tut, on tonight. We lift her up in prayer. We're touching and agreeing. And we know that you have all power in your hands. We know that we just received the news that she suffered a stroke. But we know that you are a healer. So no matter what it looks like, we know that you are the healer. And we know that you have the final say in every situation. So we ask that you would touch and strengthen and heal her body in the name of Jesus for your glory. And that once she's healed, delivered, and set free, and from this, Heavenly Father, that she would be able to have another testimony and not be afraid or ashamed to be a witness for you and let the world know that it's you, without a doubt, who have healed her and delivered her and made her whole once again. We ask it by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. So right now we are getting ready to receive Deacon Marvin Cox. He's going to share with us another inspirational poem. Then he's going to deliver God's word. So Deacon Marvin Cox, I now yield the mic to you.
Oh, thank you, Brother Brown. As you was praying, I was thinking about Aunt Essie. You know, she's made a comment over the phone on a few occasions, and it encouraged me. And I also was praying with you.
Amen.
Because I know that Aunt Essie could get well. You know, never
Amen.
Let God be done. Now,
that's right.
Now, tonight's lesson, it's really coming in the form of a question, but first I'm going to get to the poem. It's called Out in the Fields with God. The little cares that fretted me, I lost them yesterday. Among the fields above the sea, among the winds at play, among the lowing of the herds, the rustling of the trees, among the singing of the birds, the humming of the bees, the foolish fears of what might happen, I cast them all away. Among the clover scented grass, among the new mown hay, among the husking of the corn, where drowsy poppies nod, where all thoughts die and good are born, out in the fields with God. Amen. That was just a poem to encourage my brothers and sisters. It's time for us to go out there in that field with God. Now, tonight's lesson is coming from the book of Genesis, the third chapter, and I'll read a few said verses. It's coming out of the complete third chapter, but I'll read to you from verses 1 through 11. It's the Genesis, the third chapter, verses 1 through 11, and I'm reading out of the King James Version. And it reads, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yeah, have God said ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Now he asked the question. And the woman said unto the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." When the serpent said unto the woman, "Ye shall not surely die, for God doth thus know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil." And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree be to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" But he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" Just read unto you from the book of Genesis, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 11. And may the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and doing of his word and will. And may he edify our souls forever. As I was telling you earlier, Amen. The nice lesson is coming in the form of a question. And we're going to concern ourselves with who told you? Who told you? And if we had a subtopic, that subtopic would be consider the source. Now we know that God has given Adam instructions. He had basically laid it out for him. He had designed it so that this brother could live forever. He had fixed it so that nothing would bother him. Death wouldn't bother him or nothing like that. And so God gave, as I said, he gave him instructions, him and his wife, on what to do. And up until that point, God's word was law. But as we know how things are, we could be living in peace and then harmony. And then some type of disruptor will come and bring your whole world crashing down. So God had informed them, "Hey, you got access. You could eat anything in this garden, except for, hey, that, you know, that tree of good and evil, that tree of knowledge. Don't touch that. It don't belong to you." But the wife, she'd seen that it was good, but she had, as I say, a disruptor. She had an enticer. She had someone with the persuasive power to convince her that God was not telling the truth. Mm-hmm. And so she took of that fruit, and it was good. And then she told the husband, who God had told, because he had dominion over the whole garden. He was the gardener. He had control over what comes in the garden and what comes out of the garden. But see, that's the thing about it, that we got control over different things, but we don't have control over the suggestions that people make concerning us. And so he and his wife, that being Adam, they partaked of the fruit, and they discovered, they saw that they both were naked. And so normally in the cool of the evening, if you know biblical principles, you know that in the cool of the evening was a time that God normally communed with his people. That's when the kings communed with their people. That's when the garden was at its most accessible, where the workers then went home and everything. So he said, Adam, where art thou? And so Adam told the Lord, he said, I'm here. He said, well, yeah, man. So I'm here. He said, what you doing? Now, we know that God knows everything and he sees everything, but sometimes God will allow you to expose yourself. So, you know, so he said, open confession is good for the soul. And so Adam said, I'm here. You know, him and his wife had sold some fig leaves because they realized that they were naked. And so he said, I'm here because I was naked and I was afraid. So I hid myself. So as any parent would, God asked him, who told you? And once again, the subtopic, consider the source. Who told you that you were naked? But see, when they got that knowledge and they saw, then that knowledge of good and that knowledge of evil began to let them know, because he's seen his wife in a way in which he had never seen her before. She's seen her husband in a way in which he never seen her before. They seen each other in ways in which they never witnessed unto one another. And so God immediately questioned him, as I say parents do when their children bring some unlawful knowledge in their midst. Who told you? So immediately what Adam did, as a lot of people do, he passed the book. Ain't there something? He passed the book. And he said in verse number 12, the woman whom thou givest to me to be with, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Now, that's not really answering the question of who told you. But the spiritual knowledge of God, that knowledge of good and evil, tells you, because there was nobody in the garden but Adam, Eve, and that serpent that were able to speak in audible tones to one another. And when I first read it, I know God had told them and warned them and let them know that don't touch that. So God will put you into a position, and see the thing about it, when the realization of sin comes down to you, comes down upon you, most people would react at first like Adam did. They try to hide. First of all, when they covered up with fig leaves, they tried to hide their shame. I don't think you heard me. They tried to hide their shame. And then he said, I was afraid. Now, why would he be afraid? He was afraid because he knew that the consequences, as most people do, of being disobedient, especially with God, are going to be severe. God is not playing, but who told you? And then he immediately went from there, and the Lord said to the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. He said, who told you? Who told you? Now, this is getting kind of deep right here. She said, the serpent. The serpent told me that it was good. But God said, I could imagine, I don't know whether it's recorded or not, but can you imagine parents when you give your children instructions and then they come back with some little off-the-wall story? Well, so-and-so, so-and-so said such and such and such a thing, and it sounded so good. But then that parent and God might say, well, what, like, you know, might almost like be like Ray Charles. Tell me what I say, okay? And so he immediately went from there, okay? And the man, okay, and so from there, okay, she said that the serpent of her, okay? And the serpent, okay, now see, God is dealing with each of these individuals personally, all right? And so from there, okay, went from Adam. Adam told him that this wife, he passed the book all in the book automatically to his wife. Well, you know, this woman, you know, she talked me into it. But as any parent would tell their children, when it comes down to different things, they don't care if Johnny jump off the bridge. What I say, that's not safe for you to do.
That's right.
And so from there, she said that she was beguiled. She was tricked. She was bamboozled. She was she was deceived. Okay? And then from there, if you notice what happens when you listen to the wrong people, what happened here, whether we know it or not, Satan told Eve told Adam, and then Adam brought it back to God. But the chain reaction of sin had already started.
Mm-hmm.
So here's how we got to be careful. Head of organization, we got to be careful. As I say, sometimes we have to consider the source. Now, I want to paint a picture for you. Look at how God had provided for Eve and for Adam in this beautiful garden. They didn't have to work, didn't have to do nothing. All they had to do was just be themselves. And so, moving right along, who told you that it was all right to do that? Who's been whispering in your ear? And see, the thing about it would not be so bad if we were not knowledgeable of that, which is bringing us to knowledge. Because, see, when you see something, witness something for yourself, just like Isaiah, he was living in the innocence of their ways had been tarnished. When they discover, sometimes, you know, you feel like, man, you never should have told me. Why? Because people soil your ears sometimes with gossip. And some things you'd rather not hear. But let's say with Isaiah, in the 6th chapter of Isaiah, when he first saw the Lord, it said that he was a man of clean lips, okay, and that the king had to die before he saw the Lord. Now, we're going to go back to Adam. Adam and his wife saw that they were naked. They saw that they were naked. And so, just like Isaiah saw, and he said, I'm wretched and I'm undone. But who told the knowledge, the spiritual knowledge, that knowledge of good and evil will always tell you. Now, have you ever been in a situation where danger was around you, but you were not aware of that danger. And then I used to say and tell people, they said, you know, I started to go down I-94 on my way home, but today I took a different route.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a bad accident on there, and it happened, and that's the same route, the same time I would have been going that way. And we always attributed the Spirit of God speaking to us as something told me.
Mm-hmm.
Who told you the Spirit of God will speak to you? And it might not necessarily be in an audible tone for which you'd understand, but you get that feeling that, wait a minute, something is not right about this situation.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been going in another direction. But who told you? Consider the source. If God says it, then it's so. If man tell you, I would advise you to research upon that to see if your best interest at heart, because how many people? There's so many people right now on drugs and alcohol and so forth and on because they buddy. So, man, I tried that, man. That don't mean nothing to me. But see, the chronic long-term drug users and, you know, people who abuse alcohol, I'm not putting nobody down. It don't have that effect on. But then when you cigarette smokers, but then once the addiction, once the consequences of a person violating that comes, we ask ourselves, who told you? But consider the source, my brothers and sisters. Consider why people will come to you and give you and feed you negative information that may be detrimental unto you, give you negative information that is not going to be of any type of a benefit to you. So moving right along, as I said, we in the knowledge department now. And Proverbs 1 and 7 explains and backs up Genesis, the third chapter. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And instruction. So, okay, now I want to tie these two things together, if you don't mind. Adam said, I found out that I was naked, and I hid myself, and I was afraid. So if you look at Proverbs 1 and 7, and then you go back over here you go from Genesis, but then it's confirmed in Proverbs where it says, so Adam, he was scared. But see, he had the fear of the Lord, the fear of the consequences that would befall him when he was disobedient unto God. So we're talking about knowledge here, because once your eyes is open, okay, Proverbs 24th chapter. It says, a wise man is full of strength, and a man of knowledge enhances his might. So that means it makes it even better. All right, Hosea tells each and every last one of us that a people perish because of lack of knowledge, and because you have rejected. People reject knowledge. When you tell them that something is not good for them, then they fool around and do it anyway. Because, you know what, that, hey, it ain't going to bother me. Shoot, smoking that crack, shoot, my constitution is strong. It ain't going to have no effect on me. But see, Hosea was letting the people know that you will perish, you will be destroyed because of your ignorance, okay, or because of an individual's ignorant. And see, sometimes when the word is going forth, see, people take it to the point, that man just called me ignorant. But no, that's not what I'm doing. I'm just saying people in general, when we step across that line, ignorance will destroy you.
Yes, Lord.
Proverbs, the 12th chapter, says that whoever loves knowledge, rather than the choice of gold. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. See, this is how we should turn our life back over to the Lord and say, Lord, teach me good knowledge and good judgment. And then at the end of the day, we say, who told you? You're going to say, God, your word told me. Your son told me. That preacher told me. That spiritual-minded woman told me about your son's goodness, and it aroused a curiosity in me that I had to find out for myself. But who told you? That's what the problem is, because most of the times when somebody tells us something, we can't even pinpoint who that seed planter was. Because that's that seed planter, and then we go down a little bit further along the line, and there's somebody that's going to water that seed. So you got to watch out for that fan club or Satan. Those cheerleaders. See, those cheerleaders will follow you, and they will encourage you. And it will make you feel, but I hate to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Could you imagine that a cheerleader never won a ball game? And I'm talking about Satan here. They get them all fired up. They get you all fired up just to get you in trouble with God. If you know those cheerleaders on the sideline, they be gyrating and moving and everything and having people think, having the players on the team players now, this is more than one, having them thinking that it ain't nothing that they could do, that they could run through a brick wall and survive. But who told you? Who told you that it was all right to cheat on your wife? Certainly not God. God don't operate like that. But over there in Exodus, the 20th chapter, he says, thou should not covet thy neighbor's wife. Thou should not covet his house, his field, anything. King David, who told you? I gotta take this thing to the personal, down to the personal level. King David, who told you that it was all right for you to gaze upon that woman that was down there taking that bath? Because God's word says, so thinketh a man in his heart, then so is he. So the sin was already committed when he began envisioning himself to be with this woman. But see, God's word is standing firm here, because we know about good. We know about evil. Our granddaddy, Adam, he made sure. But see, we could have lived that innocent life. And see, when you think about the things that some people have done, if you're not careful, it will make you have some type of an animosity towards that person. We might say to ourselves, if they wouldn't have did this, I wouldn't be going through that. If you had to pay the bills on time, we wouldn't be sitting in here holding Bible study by candlelight. But they're overlooking the fact that we're still holding Bible study. So the things that chain reaction of sin is still constantly going on. Because why? Who told you? Now, I can truthfully say, not God, because God is not going to point you, whoever you might be, in a negative direction. He's going to always point you towards the good. He's going to always point you towards Christ Jesus, that mark which is Christ Jesus. So we have to ask ourselves that, and that's truly a self-examination question. And so we're looking for, and we've got to be careful, other people's approval. And we're looking for other people's approval. You know, as I say, now the tree was beautiful. They say that the serpent was the most subtle, so he was kind of like, with his gyrations and everything, was kind of like, and if you notice, in today's society, everybody, if you look at the national anthem being sung on TV, if you look at anything pertaining to concerts, what they're doing, they're up there gyrating like a snake. When the king saw the girl dancing and he had desire for her, and he asked, he said, well, hey, man, I got to have her. But the mother had animosity toward John the Baptist because John the Baptist wouldn't pay no attention to her. So she whispered, as you notice this chain reaction of sin is still apparent. Somebody will whisper in somebody else's ear, and somebody will whisper in their ear, and then next thing you know, they are initiating. You might not have to say it, and I try to keep politics out of God's word. But it says it could be on spiritual wickedness, but it says obey the laws of man as well as the laws of God. So one person don't necessarily have to do it, but he just have to, or she just have to suggest that they do it. Well, I'm here for this person. So-and-so sent me. So-and-so said it was all right for me to do this. But who told you? So as I said, we have to examine ourselves to the point that we can't let this noise get into our ear and filter in our brain and tarnish our soul because we have a lust or we have a desire for something. Because, see, when Eve seen that fruit, said, man, that's some good-looking fruit right there. Man, huh? And, you know, just like some men, man, that's some good-looking fruit right there. This is such his neighbor's wife. Man, I sure would like to have a piece of that. So we have to be able to distinguish what is God and what is not of God. Now, we're going to move right along because, see, we getting real knowledgeable. Okay, it says, so let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. So I don't care how smart we are. I don't care what knowledge we have. Each and every last one of us had to be guided. And it's the same thing with Eve. She was guided to that. She was deceived. But ask ourselves, who told you? Who's telling me this? Who's whispering this negative thing in my ear against my wife? I wouldn't, you know, they call these people instigators. The instigator will tell you in a minute, boy, you know, my wife, you know, I wouldn't let my wife talk to me like that, man. All the readjust her week. If it was me, I'd readjust her week. But see, that
Lord Jesus
always make that suggestion that you do something that you should not be doing. And because my mind is weak, because my mind is receptive to that idea, I initiate it. Because a lot of times people, and they call that a conspiracy, when one person mentioned it, and then you got several other people who follow up on that. So don't be a part of Satan's conspiracy, because he's out to take you down. He's out to knock you off your square. He's all out to diminish your standing with God, to get you to renounce God, not through your tongue, but through your actions. So, my brothers and my sisters, I thank you on this last day of the year. I hope that the new year that's coming in is more prosperous to you than it ever has been. But when you confront it with a situation, and it's saying like somebody come up with a solution, I want to ask you a question. Who told you? Who told you? Because somebody else's success, you can't base yours on somebody else or how a person obtained the thing that they obtained. So
examine
this, brothers and my sisters, and always consider, if God didn't, you know, a lot of people, them old people, they would say, if God didn't say it, it ain't so. So we have to consider these things. But who, that's the thought I'm going to leave you with, and I've been putting emphasis on that ever since the beginning of tonight's lesson. But who told you? And when you find out, see, is it of God? If it's of God, then I would suggest that you follow through. If it's against God, or he warned you, but see, you have to have that spiritual knowledge in order to make those type of decisions. Ask the Lord to give you that knowledge. So may God bless you, and may he ever keep you. Brother Brown, it's on you.
Amen. Thank you so much, Deacon Brother Cox. And like you said earlier in the Word of God tells us plain and clear, my people perish because of the lack of knowledge. And back to what you said about the garden, when God told Adam, he instructed Adam. He didn't tell Eve. He told Adam what not to do regarding that in the garden. But then, like you said, his wife got deceived by the serpent. So she turned around and gave the fruit to Adam, and he turned around and ate it. Then he going to turn around when God questioned him. He turns around and blames it on the wife. Then she turns around and blames on the serpent. So everybody blaming somebody, but they're not listening to, they didn't do what God told them to do and God told them not to do. So they want to turn around and blame each other. But then, like you said, who told you it was all right for you to really touch that tree that God told you not to touch and eat of that tree that God told you not to eat of? So you were bamboozled by the serpent. And so like today, so many people in the body of Christ are still being bamboozled by the enemy, by people that say they love God, but they have a form of godliness. They look like a Christian, they walk like a Christian, they talk like a Christian, but they their hearts are not in it. So that's why we have to be so careful, like you said, and that's why we have to know the Word of God for ourselves so we can compare. Who told you this? Is this lining up with God's Word, with his will for your life? Or if it's not, then it's not of God. So we thank you for that word on tonight, and we thank God for all those of you that have you dialed in late and you got the part of the message, but you can always go back to the website and pick and pull it up and listen to the whole message on tonight. It was a powerful lesson on tonight from Deacon Marvin Cox. We thank God for him. I'm getting ready to open up the phone lines again on tonight. And once again, we're going to continue to lift up S.E. Tut, who was hospitalized due to a stroke. Again, we know that God is a healer. So we just lift her up to the Lord tonight and all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land, that he would touch and heal and strengthen and anoint their bodies, that they would be healed, delivered, and set free. And they would have another testimony to let the world know that it was God who have healed them. So right now the phone lines are open for anyone that's on the line. If you have a question for Deacon Marvin Cox pertaining to tonight's message or If you want to give him words of encouragement on this last Saturday night of this worldwide ministry platform on, in the year 2022, the phone lines are open.
Reverend Cox, that was a good word tonight.
Thank you.
And I really need that. And I'm asking all of y'all, please, please say a prayer for my aunt.
Amen.
And happy
Amen.
New Year.
Same to you, Mary Ann. We will definitely keep you and Essie in prayer. And all those and others that we know of that are sick and afflicted, even those that we don't know that are sick and afflicted, we're lifting them all up in prayer because we know that God is everywhere. We don't have to send them anywhere. He's already there.
That's right.
Thank you, Sister McMahon. Anyone else? The lines are still open. Anyone else? The phone lines are still open. Praise the Lord. If we have a few minutes left. I just want to try to give everybody an opportunity to dial in. Again, we do have a lot of people that dial in and they don't say anything, but we thank God for you as well. We don't take you lightly or for granted. We thank God for you for dialing in. Again, on tonight, we have Sister Cheryl Doss, one of our members from Peace and Goodwill, on the line tonight, as always, but she's still having issues with her voice. So we just want to recognize her that she is on the line, and I know that she has received this powerful word on tonight, and I know it was a blessing to her. And she's going to share it with others. And that's what I'm asking all listeners to do. When we receive these words from the Lord that blesses us, we are supposed to go around and we're supposed to share it with someone else so that they can be encouraged and be spiritually uplifted by God's word. So once again, the phone lines are still open. Anyone else? Well, on tonight, I'm getting ready to get dressed so I can go to church tonight. Our night watch service, which starts at 10:30 at the Peace and Goodwill Baptist Church. I'm so excited. We have to sing on tonight. I'm looking forward to singing again on tonight. And then hopefully we'll get a chance to sing tomorrow for the first Sunday of the new year. Anyway, we want to say happy, healthy, and prosperous new year. Happy, healthy, prosperous 2022-23 to each and every last one of you. And I pray that we all, not just me, but you as well, my sisters and brothers in Christ, everything that we do, make sure that we keep God first in everything. We don't ever want to put anyone or anything before God because he said he is a jealous God. So we want to make sure that we always keep God first in everything that we do, that he get the glory. So right now we're going to close out in prayer once again on tonight. Once again, I know that I love you. We want to continue to encourage one another in God's word. And I thank God for this year that's coming up. We have so many new people that are going to be coming forth over this worldwide ministry platform, sharing testimonies and sharing God's word. God has opened the door for many new people to come through over this worldwide platform. I am excited about the new people that God has put me in contact with. That they are excited as well to be able to come forth over this worldwide platform and ministry to share their testimonies and share God's word over this platform. So we just give God the glory, honor, and praise in advance for what he's about to do. Greater work shall we all do in 2023 is my prayer in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come once again on tonight giving you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We bless your name on tonight because, again, we know that you're worthy to be praised. And Heavenly Father, as we have already prayed and we're asking him once again on tonight, we're touching and agreeing on behalf of Sister Essie your daughter in Christ, our sister in Christ, our mother in Christ, Heavenly Father, we lift her up to you. You know her situation. We know that you are the healer, so we ask you to lead and guide the doctors that they would do what's right by her, that she would be able to come out with a positive result, and that she would be able to come out with a healing, a deliverance, and being set free once again after this stroke. So we just give you the glory, honor, and praise in advance for her, not only for her, but for Sister Terra Doss and her voice, that you continue to work on her voice, that she will continue to be healed, delivered, and set free. And all those, Sister Kim, and all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land, we continue to lift up all those that have breathed on tonight. Continue to comfort and strengthen them as only you can in the name of Jesus. And now, Lord, we pray that you will move by your spirit on tomorrow, and every door that's going to be open in Jesus' name, even tonight, then watch night service all over the land, even those that are going to be in the midst of your people in the house of the Lord tomorrow, giving you glory, honor, and praise is our prayer that the word go forth with power, that souls will be saved, backsliders will come back to the fold, and that the body of Christ will be built up and strengthened and edified. It's our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, again, know that I love you, but know this. God loves you even more. Guess what? He said in his word, and it's still true. He said we can cast all of our cares, not some. Cast all of your cares. I can cast all of my cares. You too. Cast all of your cares upon him. Why? Because he cared for us, and he loves us, and he have no respect of persons. That's the kind of God we serve. What a mighty, awesome God we serve. So until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Again, find yourself in the house of the Lord if you can on tomorrow. We're giving God glory, honor, and praise because he's worthy of our praise. Until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Good night.
Come on, KD.
This is an old song from North Carolina, Currituck, North Carolina. Maybe some of y'all know this, but I'm going to sing this song here. My, my, my. Pray for me. Yes, sir. Pray, pray for me.
Oh.